I got hecklers in the back there.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Hello? You hog me. Can we hear me?
Yeah.
All right, say amen. Thankful to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm thankful. You know, there's places all across the world that, man, that lapel's loud. Anyway, there's places all across the world, you know, and they're in, you know, basements because they don't have the freedoms that we have. And, you know, praise the Lord, we have the freedoms we do. And I think we're going to have the freedoms for a while, but, you know, the world's going to turmoil here. I mean, we're in the final days here. But by God's grace, you know, if you know the Lord, if you trust in Him, Lord, He saved you, and we're thankful for Him. And I'm thankful for the church here. You guys have been a blessing to me. You guys have been encouragement. You guys have something special here. There's a lot of churches where there's not communion between each other. And, you know, you have pastors that love you. They love the word. And you need to be praying for your pastors. Your pastors, they get discouraged because, you know, they got their own issues, their family's issues. Then on top of that, they have hundreds of people calling them, asking them, coming to them. And you got to be praying for them every day because, you know, just keep them in the word because it's easy to get discouraged. There's people all across the country that, you know, they leave the faith. You know, people, you know, artists that are singing, preachers, whatever. They just leave the faith. They get discouraged. They don't, you know, they turn to an atheistic worldview, and I just pray for your pastors. But I'm thankful you guys have given me the opportunity to come here and preach tonight. And let's pray now and ask the Lord to bless our time. Lord, thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that it has. Thank you that you give me the opportunity to come up here and speak. Lord, I thank you for filling me with the Spirit. Lord, that you use people that aren't qualified, or use people that aren't deserving to speak your word, but your word's powerful enough that your word will get through us, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would bless this message now. Lord, pray for those that are listening, that may be here tonight, the Lord, aren't saved. I pray, Lord, that you would convict them. I pray that you would just use them and encourage me. Lord, that's one of the beauties of preaching, Lord. You get to be filled with their own power. That's right. And, Lord, thank you for everything you've done for me. I pray that you bless this night. And press the preaching now, just name. Amen. So we'll be preaching from Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to turn there. This is one of my favorite passages, talks about the new life in Christ. And a lot of times when people are preaching from this passage, they're preaching from the aspect that, you know, the new life that we have in Christ. But I kind of want to take the turn to it and talk about how to get the new life in Christ. Because I have a lot of people, hopefully, that I invited to listen over the live stream that I believe are not saved. And tonight I just want to just give a clear presentation of the gospel. And even as Christians, there's not enough times that we can't keep hearing it.
Amen.
You should be thankful every single day. I mean, a lot of times as Christians, we get melancholy, and we just keep hearing things, and we keep saying amen, but Lord saved us. Lord, he sent his son to die for us. And there's, you know, there's so many worldviews and junk that's being talked out there, and it's sending people right to the gates of hell. They're believing lies, and I'm thankful for churches like this. Just Bible-believing churches that are solid, preaching the word, and this book can't be changed.
That's right.
Can't be added to, can't be taken away from. This, it's perfect as it is. It has exactly everything we need in it, and I'm thankful for the word today.
Yeah.
All right, so Ephesians chapter 2, we're reading from verses 1 down to verse 10. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. So there's a gentleman by the name of Steve Scheibner who visits our church in the summertime. Has anyone heard of Steve? Steve Scheibner? No one? All right, cool. So he has a documentary out there called In My Seat. And he's a pastor in a church up in Maine, I believe. He has a doctorate degree. He has a he does a counseling type course for people all across families and things like that. And Brother Steve's an airplane pilot. He has, I think, 3,000 hours flying P-5 airplanes in the Army. And he's also a pilot for American Airlines. He's been a pilot for, I think, 30 years now. And on September 10th, 2001, he had logged into the computer because that's how they make their assignments. You put your name into whatever assignment you want, and depending on your seniority, I guess that's how you get your flight. And if you have a 30-minute window from someone who has seniority to him to bump him off that flight. And that's very uncommon, but it's not unheard of. I mean, people can get bumped off the flights, but it was flight 11, heading from Boston to Los Angeles, and he had penciled in his name, and he was ready to fly, and 20 minutes later, he gets a phone call saying a gentleman by the name of Tom McGinnis had bumped him off of that flight. And, you know, he didn't think anything of it, just went about it the next day, and September 11th comes, 2001, and he gets a phone call. And people are just asking about are you okay? Because they know he was a flight from American Airlines. And he was actually supposed to fly the plane that day that went into the World Trade Center. He was the first plane that actually hit the plane was hijacked, and that was his plane there. And he's just had an incredible ministry. He's been able to go onto Fox News, Good Morning America, and all these different big platforms and just be able to share the gospel that way, because he said not one but twice he's known what it's like for someone to die in his place. And, you know, Tom McGinnis died so he could have more time on this earth. But, you know, Jesus Christ died so he could have repentance and that he could have a relationship, that we can have a relationship with God through the blood of the Lord. Amen. And because of your sin, Jesus had to die for you. Verse 1 there, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You either were dead in trespasses and sins, or you are still dead in trespasses and sins. And the second you came out the womb, you were headed for hell. I mean, the second you're into this earth, you're a ticking time bomb. We're born with the flesh. And, you know, Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Sin produces sin. We're constantly, you know, just this never-ending just trickle effect of just sinners creating sinners. And from the beginning, you know, we look at Genesis 3. You don't have to turn there. But when you look at the beginning of time, the fall of man, you see how everything has changed. You know, there was peace in the garden. And then, you know, the serpent had come, tricked Eve. Adam had then took of the fruit. And then they went and hid. And then from then on, they knew that, you know, they had messed up. And verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid. And I was naked and I hid myself. There was shame there. There was guilt. They had gone and, you know, clothed themselves because the Lord said, you know, who told you you were naked? And, you know, he was, you know, we were naked, we didn't hit ourselves. And, you know, there was guilt. You know, Adam pointed fingers. She did it. That's the first thing that, you know, he had said, you know, this woman you gave me, she was the one that did it. And then I was the one that took of it. And then imagine having to look God in the eyes after you had did something like that and then admitting that you were the one that had sinned. And then just creating the downfall, you know, the fall of man there. And, I mean, it's similar to when, you know, student messes with a teacher, you know, or something, and you have to, you know, tell them what you had did, or employer or parent or however it is. And everything had changed at that point. You know, the next change, you look at Cain and Abel. You know, Cain had been, he'd felt no respect after the offering that he had given to the Lord, and he felt that, and then Cain ended up killing Abel there. And the reason I mention all this is just to make note, from the first time sin had occurred, it's been passed down from generation to generation, and you have a natural love for the flesh. And let's see, where are we at? Where are we at? Ephesians 3. Let's go back. I'm sorry, Ephesians 2, verse 3. I apologize. Among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And in times past, we fulfill the desires of the flesh. We still fulfill the desires of the flesh, but, you know, by God's grace, He died, he saved us, and, you know, if we had asked him for forgiveness during that time, and even though we, now when we sin with the flesh, we have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Because when you're, before, you're just doing it to do it. You know, you don't even understand what you're doing at that point. And because we all have a flesh and a naturally sinful desire, we deserve death and a separation from God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your payment for the sins you've committed should be death and an eternity in a real place called hell. Amen. I tell you what annoys me is when people joke about hell. You know, whatever, I'll go there. I'll play cards with, you know, whatever. I don't know why that's always the joke people say, but whatever. But I tell you what, it's going to be a place of darkness. It's going to be a place of gnashing of teeth. And it's a place you don't want to be. And this all sounds bad to some people. You know, I'm not that bad. I don't deserve hell. I tell you what, it was bad enough to put the Son of God on the cross. It was bad enough that, you know, because of that, we can't have a relationship with him without Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And this is the issue with the good works ideology. It puts everything on you. It doesn't put anything on God. You know, so many religions are just preaching, you know, just be a good person. Do this, give to the church, do that, it's great. And then they fail to even put Jesus Christ in this. And if there was a single thing we could have did, again, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to come. He wouldn't have had to come, die for our sins, live a perfect life. And humanity sees good works as a possibility because of the scale we put it on. Right. You versus, I don't know, Hitler or someone of a major scale that's, you know, incredibly wicked, sure, you may seem as the good person, but you put yourself versus a sinless God. Yeah. You put yourself versus Jesus Christ. Sure. You realize real quick, the second you came out the womb, you lost. Yeah. And why, I don't understand this. If you, good works get you what? You get to live a life to yourself, and then you reap the benefits of heaven. But in heaven, they says there's going to be service. There's going to be worship. There's going to be singing. I mean, we're going to be there to praise God. And if you earned it yourself, wouldn't it just be an extension of earth? It makes no sense of why, you know, it just makes no sense. And Jesus Christ died for you, so you don't have to walk according to this world. And we were once on a path to hell, but Jesus Christ provided another road. You know, when you're first born, we're all walking down the same road. But, you know, by God's grace, someone had the courage to tell you about the gospel, whether it be a pastor, a friend, or whatever. And the second you get saved, you're turning around. Right. You're heading the other way. Amen. And I'm thankful. You know, in seventh grade, my best friend Ryan was able to witness to me. I mean, we were going to church at the time, but it was one of those things. You know, I prayed a prayer when I was, you know, in fifth grade or, you know, whatever, and thought, you know, I was a good person. But, you know, the Lord convicted me of my sin there, and I'm thankful for it. And Jesus lived a sinless 33-year life to make him the only sacrifice worthy to save us. Amen. And while on the earth, you know, Jesus performed miracles. He helped those in need. He was tempted the same way we were. He had a flesh. You know, he was born man. And Hebrews 4:15 tells us, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin. He had one time to mess up, and then all bets would have been off.
That's right.
And praise God he didn't. So, and if you're here tonight listening to this online, there's a way to escape your worldly lifestyle. There's a way to have fellowship with God. You just have to understand that you're a sinner. Sin is anything we do, say, or think that dishonors or displeases God. And, you know, sin sounds like a harsh word. And, you know, I mean, no, I don't murder anybody. Or no, I haven't done this or done that. You've told a lie. You've lusted. You count it. We've done it. And understand that you're a sinner deserving of hell, that there is nothing you can do to earn favor with God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 64:6 that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Jesus Christ was wrongfully beaten, scourged, forced to wear a crown of thorns on his head. And he didn't just die. He was brutally murdered.
Right.
And when you hear, you know, he was scourged, when he was beaten, the whip was braided with lambone and glass. So as soon as it would hit his side, they'd pull off and it would expose the ribs. Most people actually didn't even make it past the scourging process to make it to the cross where they had died. And, you know, all of this was for us. And at the same time, you know, they spat at him. They, you know, gambled for his clothes there. And it was just out of sheer disrespect. No, he was betrayed there by Judas. And all of this for you and I. But they couldn't keep him down.
Amen.
And, you know, they had murdered him. But 3 days later, he rose again.
Amen.
To give us the opportunity, you know, he beat death. So we could have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. And now he sits at the right hand of God. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sat him down at the right hand in heavenly places. You can be saved today. You just got to talk to God. Romans 10:9, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You just got to believe that you're a sinner, know that Jesus Christ died for you, and know that there's a way for repentance.
Amen.
And a lot of times we put it in our mind, you know, Jesus Christ had died for us. We hear it all the time. But you fail to put it in your heart.
Amen.
And a lot of times, you know, Christianity, people can say that, but then their life doesn't live it. Because, you know, that's the beauty of being a Christian. We can be different. We can,
Amen.
We have the opportunity to not follow your friends, to
Amen.
Lead by example. And don't wait another day. I have countless, you know, people and friends that I went to high school with. At least 15 people that I've gone to school with in my grade have died. You know, one was murdered by his father and, you know, buried under the house. They end up finding him. Many people have overdosed on drugs, a lot of car accidents, a couple suicides. But all this to say that, you know, another day is not promised. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We don't know when we're going to go. You could leave here, trip out, and bang your head on the sidewalk there, and boom, dead. You could, someone could run that stop sign there, boom, you could die. You don't know when, you know, our time's to come. And we're ticking time bombs. You only got a certain amount of time on this earth, and if you're not saved, you're just toying with death. And not only a physical death, a spiritual death. And because Jesus died for you, and this is where the believer aspect comes in, we need to live for him. Ephesians 2, 1-5, you know, it talks about being quickened, made alive, once being dead in trespasses and sins, we're now alive. And Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, and now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We love the darkness. As sinners, our flesh loves to do anything far from what the Lord would have us to do. We enjoy living and breathing just sin, because that's just how we're designed, having a flesh. And if you're a Christian today, you should have fruit in your life
Amen.
That is evident of it.
Amen.
That's the beauty of when I was talking about, you know, you're going down the road, you turn around, you get saved. People are going to wonder why you're walking the other way. And if you claim to be a Christian and you're not living it, then they should assume you should be walking the same way as them.
Yeah.
It's the beautiful thing about being a Christian, and your testimony gives you the opportunity to talk to people because they see that you're different. When you're living with them, drinking with them, whatevering with them, you marred your testimony, you've dishonored God, and then you've lost the opportunity to witness to them because they're not going to listen to you because of what you know, because the way you're living is not what you're doing. It doesn't back it up. And the Bible tells us you will become a new man after becoming saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And countless times throughout this, you know, Ephesians 2, verses 3 and 4, in times past you, it says, you know, you were and you once were. It talks about the past. It doesn't talk about the presence because, you know, if you're a believer, you know, praise God, he doesn't look back at you. From the moment you got saved, you're pushing forward. All your sins are cleansed then, and you know, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have opportunity for repentance and forgiveness pushing forward, where we didn't once have. And we ought not to live as we once did. We fulfilled the desires of the flesh, and we need to be fulfilling the desires now of the Holy Spirit. And praise the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit, you know, the power of conviction that we know when we're doing wrong. We know when we should be doing something right. And sadly, you know, you may be saved, but you may have marred your conscience and, you know, the power of conviction so much that you don't even get convicted anymore and you don't even feel it. But, I mean, that's been my prayer the last couple of years. The Lord would just give me the fire back. Because, I mean, over the last few years, I started going my own way. But, I mean, by the grace of God, this year I got things back. I got things right. And, I mean, things may have seemed normal, but what you have in your mind is a lot different than what's in your life. You can easily fool people. They can think you're doing good. But the second you get home, you know, your mind or whatever is just in a totally different ballgame. And everything we do from the moment you become a Christian, you should seek 100% to honor God in everything you do. Reading your Bible, Psalms 119, 105. Hold on, I didn't write it down, and I knew this was going to happen. Talk to me. No. Thank you. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. I knew that was going to happen. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This book's got everything we need. You know, so many people go searching for just, you know, should I do it? Should I not? This book has exactly everything we need in it. And, you know, praise God we have it. Amen. There's a lot of places Bibles are outlawed. You get caught with the Bible. Yep. Some places you might get shot, hung, killed, whatever, just because it's the Word of God. And here you can go to Walmart and get one for $12. You can find them in the street. Every house probably has 5 to 10. Yep. And it's incredible. And sad thing is how many Christians don't give it the time in their personal devotions to. They see it and they read it. They're hearers of the word. And the Bible says, don't be just hearers, be doers. They come to church, they hear it, but they don't live it. They don't give it the time of day outside of church, or the 2 days or 1 day or whatever that they listen to it. And we should be people of prayer, especially in this day and age, man. That's the best thing we can do is pray. You know, there's this COVID stuff that's going on. You know, there's riots and all this and that. I mean, the best thing we can do is pray. Pray for people. Pray that the Lord could do something special through this, because this country needs revival right now. And it's not going to start until we as Christians are right with God and we have personal revival, amen, which then is the more people that get personal revival, we get a big group and we're able to go out and just, you know, revival's more. It spreads like wildfire. And, you know, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And, you know, we serve a good God. Amen. And I'm thankful the Lord has saved me. I'm thankful for this church. You know, you hear all the time people getting saved in churches like this, people getting saved at my church back home, because right now it's a tough time because people aren't actually coming to church. I mean, the fact that your auditorium has people in it, that's a blessing. Yeah. A lot of people are hiding. A lot of people are staying at home. And that's not church. Amen. Church is the body of believers. Amen. I mean, you can sit. I mean, honestly, I started working some Sundays when COVID happened because I didn't have to be in church, and I would just have church in my headphones as I was mowing or whatever. Or, you know, people listen to it on their couch in their shorts, and the next thing you know, they're falling asleep. And that's not church. It's not giving God the right time of day. It's just something special about being, amen, in the house of God. And, amen, and again, I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for what the Lord's done for me. And, yeah, I mean, I'm praying. I pray every day for you guys. I pray for the people at my church. I pray for just the Lord to do a work just globally, because there's just so much going on right now. It's sad. I mean, you look at this world and it's going to turmoil. But, you know, thankfully we serve a good God.
Amen.
And we serve a God who loves us, cares for us, died for us, and amen. That's what I got.
Amen.
Oh.
Good, man. That's good.
Amen. Amen.